Let's bring in Luke Wilson, longtime NFL tight end, good Canadian boy, TSN NFL analyst, back with us for week two. What's happening, Luke?
Not much. How are we doing?
Doing well, man. Trying to get a read on what we were just saying. You know, new quarterback, short week. If you're on the offensive side of things in Washington and Fitzpatrick's no longer available and Heinicke steps in, is that like, are they going to shrink the playbook? What is the thought process from an offensive standpoint tonight with a new quarterback in a short week in Washington?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's tough because that would vary from team to team. But this is kind of the reason why it's important to make sure Heinicke got reps all through training camp. You know, and I've been in situations where the first-string quarterback takes 95% of the reps, and then you're really, like you said, kind of handcuffed when you have a injury in a short week. But that being said, you know, the flip side of that is Heinicke and Fitzpatrick are obviously going to be a little different, so you will have some adjustments within your playbook that the Giants might not necessarily have seen. So it is definitely not a great situation to have a quarterback who hasn't played a ton coming in on a short week. But, you know, if he's ready to go and they, you know, kind of play the offense to his strengths a little bit, they can definitely catch, you know, the Giants a little bit off guard because they really don't know what to prepare for.
Luke, if I remember correctly, when the Giants drafted Danny Dimes, the Giants fans were in tears and wanted to burn down the building where the draft was being held. They weren't happy. It's been obviously ups and downs, not a ton of ups. Where do you think this guy is as a guy that needs to prove he can be the guy and a dominant player for the Giants and lead the way? Is time running out on this guy?
I don't think so. You know, what's tough about a young quarterback is if you really look back and see some of the young quarterbacks that have had success, both when they were younger, but also, you know, continuing throughout their careers, they usually have some other element to help them out early on. And what I mean by that is either a phenomenal run game or a very stout defense. And, or and with the run game, I would also put in there like a great offensive line to kind of help them through the rough patches or make them, make the rough patches like not as rough, I guess. But, you know, Danny Dimes has not really had any of those. Saquon's been hurt. Their defense has been subpar, in my opinion. Their offensive line has consistently had issues. So, you know, I'm one of those guys where the quarterback probably gets too much credit when they win and too much blame when they lose. And, I, you know, the Giants have obviously lost a lot, and everybody points a, you know, finger at Danny Dimes, as you like to call him, but I think it's a bit unfair. I think he's done, you know, a lot of good things over there. He's got a lot of ability, and they need to put a lot of pieces around him that'll really kind of help him and hopefully project him into a better, more winning situation.
Chatting with Luke Wilson, longtime NFL tight end, TSN NFL analyst, week two starting tonight right here on TSN Radio, and you can watch it on TSN Washington at home against the Giants. The short week, you know, it's something that every team has to experience now. For the longest time, it was, you know, one or two teams playing on Thanksgiving. That was about it. Now it's every single team has to go through it. You would have gone through it multiple times in your career. How big of a factor does it play in the physicality of a game, in the preparation of a game? How much of a grind is the short week game that every team has to play?
It is, you know, mentally, it's a big-time grind. Most teams won't put pads on, so if you play that Sunday, Monday you'll come in, watch the film, you know, review the game, and then a lot of times you might get a couple hours off, be there, you know, get started. So if you're the Redskins, you get started on the Giants Monday night, when traditionally, you know, Monday night is off, Tuesday is off, you start Wednesday. And then Tuesday, you're putting in all your base down stuff, first and second down. Wednesday, you're putting in your third down, short yardage goal line. And then Thursday morning, even Wednesday night, which is you kind of cram in the red zone, and you're ready to go. So it's a ton of walkthroughs. So physically, it's not as demanding as maybe the media. I mean, the game is, obviously, but the week is pretty much, if you put your helmet on during the week, you have a kind of a tough coach, to say the least. So a lot of times you're in tennis shoes, you know, you're in a ton of reps, walkthrough wise, just, you know, making sure you know the playbook, you feel comfortable, and it's a lot of film. So it's, like you said, it is a grind, but it's more mentally, make sure you're on your X's and O's. The nice thing as a, now week two, Thursday game, maybe not as much, but when you're in week seven, week eight, you have that Thursday night game, kind of, if you stay healthy, because that's always in the back of your mind, kind of works as a bit of a, like, pseudo bye week. You know, I feel like the Canadians will appreciate this, but up here in Seattle, this was, you know, pre-COVID days, but it was like, we had a Thursday night game, half our team was in Vancouver Friday afternoon. So it was kind of, it was kind of one of those things where it's like, hey, we got to have some late nights here, win this game, take care of business. And then, you know, a player's coach like Pete would give you Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. And you're jetting out of town, getting a little bit of time away from the game.
You just mentioned pre-COVID. What was the, you know, when you have such a big roster, guys traveling on the road, what is the road routine for the most part? You know, guys who are starters, are there little pockets of guys that go for dinner, or, you know, you've got a few buddies on the team, or is it the O-line all go together? Like, what does it look like on the road for the most part, especially a guy like you who, you know, if did you have buddies that you met up with or went for a couple pops?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird with the culture of football. I wouldn't say, listening to, you know, some other sports, which I won't name, but it's not as party driven. A lot of times, especially if you're on the Midwest, you fly in Saturday afternoon and you have meetings Saturday night. You might grab dinner, and then curfew in the NFL on every team that I've played on is a knock on your door, master key card into the room, flashlight to make sure you're in there type of thing. Police on the floor, stairwells wired up with alarms.
What?
Like, it's you're on lockdown with or without COVID. I'm not even making this up. So it's not a lot of there's very little shenanigans that go on in my experience on the road. But that being said, pre-COVID and playing in Seattle, if we would fly in, you know, Friday and get in at a decent hour, if we were on a East Coast trip, we definitely would have a group of guys that'd be like, hey, we're getting in at, you know, somewhat of a good hour. Let's kind of go to the local steakhouse. Just a little team bonding, camaraderie, nothing too wild, though.
So you're telling me there'd be a break and enter into your hotel room when you're on the road?
I honestly wouldn't stand for that, man. You can call me whatever.
And,
I'm not.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I just want to know what else.
And
happens.
On at home, because we stay, for home games, we stay in a hotel.
Brutal.
This is pretty uniform across the league. So, like, every Saturday, if we're playing at home, it's like, hey, it was weird because the one year I lived a block away from the team hotel. So I'd, like, pack my overnight bag and just walk over to the team hotel, and you go through our night meetings there. It's kind of a whole thing, you know, break off tight ends first, special teams, offense, defense, team meeting, little highlight film. They give us food, and then it's like, hey, you got about an hour and a half on your own. And, I mean, it's pretty strict. Like, no family on the floors. If you're going to meet anybody, it has to be in the lobby. And it is a knock on the door, like you said, a little bit of a B&E action.
Wow.
Into your room, flashlight up.
That is
kind of wild.
I've never heard of anything even remotely close to that. Like,
again, that is pretty uniform. Pretty much everywhere I played was just like that.
Could you pull a Ferris Bueller and have, like, a dummy in the bed with, like, an arm moving?
I feel like there has been some crazy stunts pulled, but, I mean, now that we're on this chat, because there's nobody allowed on the floor, the elevator would always have a police officer, like, sitting at a desk.
Come on.
And then the stairwells would be wired with an alarm. So if the door opened, you'd have like a little alarm that triggered the floor. So it was one of those things where even if you snuck out, getting back in was a problem. You know, I mean, I guess you could probably try and grease the police guy at the door, but outside of that, that's pretty much your only option.
Yeah, this sounds like Watergate, basically. Like you've got to have a plan to get in and out, and if you get caught, like what happens? Like, we've always had this conversation. If Russell Wilson gets caught, you know, or triggers the alarm, something tells me Pete Carroll's going to give him a pass, you know.
No but question. I'm going to be honest. Yeah. I mean, Russ would not be the guy to trigger the alarm, as all of us know. But if he did, I got a feeling that one's going to be, you know, they're going to turn a blind eye to that situation.
Right. But the 53rd man on the roster, if that guy gets caught, you know, tiptoeing out of the building, probably not playing again.
They'll make an example of him.
Yeah,
that's
you got to go.
Is.
For sure.
You
got to
go. So is
and
it like,
I mean, that's happened. Everybody knows that, but that's happened consistently almost every year. There's always one guy.
Right.
Whether it's that or whether it's like some other kind of like gray area team rule. And it's like, hey, everyone, guess what? You want to break the team rules? Look around for so-and-so. He ain't here no more.
Man, this is crazy, man. It's like you're in jail when you're on the road, even at home. Like you said, you're prepping for a big game. You got guys sneaking into your room. What's the point of sneaking into the room if you can't leave anywhere? There's security all over the place, and there's booby traps. Like, why is someone breaking into your room? Leave me alone.
It was a little tough. Like, and I had heard, I don't know very many professional baseball guys, but I had heard a couple stories that they were like, oh, man, we're in the playoffs, so let's put, like, a 10-beer limit and a 2 a.m. curfew. What is that? I should have played baseball, man.
Right.
Do you find it weird that we're asking this much about this particular subject?
Well, but I
I'm
mean,
fascinated.
Can you imagine the guy with the flashlight has seen some stuff? Because I know guys that get into a hotel room and strip completely naked and are sitting there on the edge of the bed and, you know, walking around.
Airing things out.
Yeah.
Air it out.
Yeah. If you want to come in, it's your call, man. But once you're in this world, this is my world.
Yeah,
and I'm in a downward dog, and I am.
You want a roasted turkey? You got one.
That'll send you packing.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, Coach.
Yeah, that would be the move. I'm here. Yeah. I'm ready to play. I'm just doing prep. I'm ready to rock.
Hot.
With Luke Wilson. Well, you're one of the guys that you're speaking to is good friends and former teammate of Darcy Tucker. In fact, a couple of us are good buddies with Darcy Tucker. All three of us good buddies with Darcy Tucker. And we saw you on TSN last night, and you told Jay Onwright that if there was one person that owned a team that could drag you out of retirement, it would be Darcy Tucker. Can you take us through that thought process?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not, I know it sounds a little complex, but it's not. I grew up an Ontario kid, you know, down there in Windsor, you get your traditional split. You have your real Canadians that cheer for Toronto, and you have your, if you want to call them betrayals or whatever you want to say, that go for the Wings, which is, I mean, it's disgusting. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, growing up watching that Leafs era, this guy was a living legend, man. I mean, he had the bucket, like, tilted over half his eye after he just absolutely sacrificed his whole body for a 45-second shift and threw 10 hits, it seemed like. I mean, the guy was, I don't know, I always loved watching him play as a kid. Just a high-energy dude, very, you know, for his size, extremely physical, gritting his teeth. I mean, when you're from a blue-collar area like Windsor, you're kind of drawn to that style of play, I would say. And, I was fortunate enough to meet Darcy probably a year and a half ago at a restaurant in Toronto, and he gave me a little bit of advice, and I'm like, wow, man, this dude really is, like, how he played is exactly, I mean, again, I don't want to sound like I know the guy, because my best friend, I'd be misleading you.
Well, one guy on this show already does that, so you might as well make it,
best
too.
Best buddies.
So I'm like, dude, this guy, I mean, I was pretty hyped meeting him, you know, and watching him kind of growing up. And then it's always nice when you meet other athletes that seem very authentic. You know, I'm sure all of us have been around people that maybe might be one way when the cameras are on, and then, you know, a little different when the cameras are off. And I was sitting there, and they kind of sprung that question on me. I'm not a big celebrity guy. Like, I don't, if I ever run into a celebrity or met some show or whatever, I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's cool, but I'm not super excited. But I'm like, I feel like if Darcy Tucker was putting together a football squad, I mean, that would be a nasty squad now. there'd be some guys in there that are playing pretty hard, and that's always a fun environment to play in. So that's all my mind went to.
There you go.
Wow.
I like it. Oh, what do you have to say
for
yourself?
Barrett?
That's all great stuff. I mean, I feel old that, you know, you're referring to a guy my age as like back when you were a kid, but he is a super guy, and he's just like you. He's from a small town out west. He's a farmer, and he's a real deal, man. He's a real nice guy, and he was a hell of a hockey player. And I think the one key element that some modern-day athletes, Luke, forget about is competitor. He was a competitor. People think it's all about skill and fancy nonsense these days. Competition is what it's all about, and he brought that basically every night.
Yeah, and he used to be best friends with O-Dog until Hayes stole him as a best friend. So we don't. It's a very hot topic here.
Does this ever happen to you, where you introduce one of your buddies to your like sports people, and then they just try to steal your friend? And it's like, I don't know. That's probably never happened.
Can you believe this is in high school that we're actually, this is legitimately a broadcast?
So I played in the World Juniors with Tux, and we've been buddies forever. I introduced him to the host of our show. He goes and asks for numbers and is texting him and asking him to golf and stuff, which is not authorized, but it's just they become super buddies, and he tries to put it in my face with little comments like, yeah, me and Tucky went golfing and this and that.
I've never done that once.
It's offside. Anyway, Luke, it's embarrassing to tell.
That's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I know it is.
Well, it's all good. It's nothing but harmony on this show. Enjoy week two, Luke. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
There he is, Luke Wilson, longtime NFL tight end. Good Ontario boy, good Windsor boy. That is
great.
He's
never
town.
Coming on this show again.
He loves
Luke?
It.
Wilson's coming on for sure, man.
He's
awesome.
Dude, I had no idea that that was the protocol the night before. Could you imagine sleeping and someone's breaking into your room? It's the coach.
Dude, just checking to
make sure you're in here.
Well, I told you.
I guarantee you, nobody's checking on Tom Brady's door. Nobody.
No, I know. There's a
lot. He's probably at his own hotel.
Well, the thing is, it's a militant sport. He would be there. He'd have to be there. You can't let Brady off the hook. He'd be there.
Dude,
like, you think Belichick's letting him off the hook?
Bill Belichick on the Super Bowl. Somebody from the Pats missed curfew one night during the week, and he didn't play him, man.
Didn't play. Malcolm Butler.
Yeah. He did not play him the whole damn game.